Hey guys, Tim here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get all of my training programs for free. That's right, it's part of our new 12-month coaching program called Springboard, and it's designed to help gym owners who are stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month grow to $30,000 in stable recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym and to see which one of my training programs you get for free, visit gymownercoach.com. That's right, gymownercoach.com for more information. Now let's get into the show.
All right, welcome back to the Gym Business Coach Podcast. I'm your host today, Randy Engston, joined with Zach Columbia.
Sup?
How we doing, brother?
Dude, where are we? This is like, if you guys aren't watching this and you're listening to it, we have like the coolest backdrop. You guys got to, it's like this giant TV screen, video wall, and we just keep doing these awesome backdrops. So cool.
Yeah, check us out. So check us out on YouTube if you want to see our smiling faces. And we've also got another YouTube channel. We do some long form trainings and things like that. You can check that out as well. And there's a link in the show notes for that. But let's dive into today's episode. Today's episode is kind of inspired by, I'd say, on the back of the Growth Summit, some of the conversations that some of the attendees are having. You know, when you attend a summit and you meet a bunch of vendors and you've got all of these different opportunities to bring something into the gym, whether it be a new profit center, maybe it's a supplement program, nutrition, all of these different opportunities. You know, it's exciting, right? There's the opportunity to bring something in, grow the revenue of the business. But we see a problem sometimes when gyms try to do too much too fast. They kind of take their eye off the prize. And we want to dive into that today, kind of share what we've seen transpire when it comes to making all of those changes or too many changes at once. Zach, you work a lot with the teams of the gym. Obviously, you ran, you know, Legacy's team as the director here for years. Why don't you kind of take us through the top-down, you know, problems that you've seen when a gym owner wants to bring something in or make a couple of things into the gym, make a few different changes or layer in a few different services or profit centers, and how that kind of impacts both the business as a whole but also the team and the problems that comes with that.
Yeah, and just to preface this, if you listen to the podcast, you know we're all about speed.
Yes.
Move fast. But you have to know what to focus on, and you have to focus on really one thing at a time. And that's what we're talking about is if you go, okay, we're going to change our model and we're going to add, you know, stretch therapy. And we're also going to start a our own custom supplement line. And then we're going to do this and you're trying to do everything simultaneously. Typically none of those gain traction and then you're way less profitable. It takes you way longer to solidify them, get a stronghold. And sometimes they don't even get a stronghold, and then you're like, well, that didn't work, and you're trying to shift gears again. So you just have to be cautious about like how many things you have the capacity to take on as the owner and oversee, or as your team or leadership team has the capacity. But you also have to think about how this impacts your staff, like your coaching staff, your admin team, because if you just put yourself in their shoes, if you come in and you say, hey guys, like we went to this conference and it was so cool. And we're going to be rolling out semi-private training. Let's just say you haven't had semi-private, you're rolling it out and your team's going, okay, what's this? And sure. They weren't there. They aren't all fired up the way that you are. You came back. You're like, drop this major change on them. Well, now you have to think about what questions do they have? How do we get the adoption from them and the buy-in? Do they understand the roles and what things are different and all of that? There's a process for that. It's going to take some time. You got to acclimate them. You got to get them used to it. They might be fully bought in and support you in it, but they don't have the skill set, the know-how, like there's a gap there.
Sure. Education, so forth. Yeah,
a skill gap. And so they, while they're developing that, if you simultaneously then go, oh, by the way, we're going to add stretch therapy as well. Now they're going, okay, well, we're changing our model, or we're adding semi-private training. Now we also have to learn stretch and how are we going to deliver? Okay, we got, you know, somebody coming in, teaching us and certifying us on this. Oh, by the way, we're going to have our supplement line. We need you guys to push the supplements and talk to the clients. But, and then all of the sudden, your coach who just went from maybe like running large group classes where they were coming in and they're like, I'm going to bring the hype today and this workout's written on the board, is now having to learn and adopt all of these things. It's not going to go well. You're going to overwhelm them. If they don't get overwhelmed and they don't, you know, quit and get burnt out, like they still, there's still this, the skill gap and you're just slowing things down. You are much better to come up with a strategic plan for your team and say, okay, guys, we have this new vision. Here's what this looks like over the course of the next 6 months or 12 months. Here's how this benefits you. Here's what role you guys are going to play. But step one is we're going to implement this and we're going to master it. We're going to be really, really good at it. And then as soon as we solidify that, the next thing that we want to do is we want to add this. And then we want to add this. And then your team can get behind it. It doesn't feel so overwhelming.
Overwhelming, yeah. I mean, we talk constantly about systems and making sure that, you know, systems are in place. When we were kind of talking about this going into the podcast, you said you almost want the first thing that you bring in to almost be on autopilot before you think about that next thing or yes. before that second profit center or second change comes into play. what do you think is like a consistent, measurable, like how would you justify saying, okay, this is probably at a point right now where we can move on? I mean, is there anything that you can, is it data? Is it problems that exist? Is it team adoption? Because adoption is a big part of it, right? Like we've talked before that if your team's not bought in,
it's
not going to get off the ground. So part of that adoption process, I guess, let's start there, or let's just go back to that. How do you help bring, you know, the team up to speed when it comes to adopting that? Because they might have their own beliefs that don't necessarily align with the beliefs of the owner when it comes to getting a result, but we need them at least to understand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole like leadership conversation, right? But essentially to simplify it is you have to communicate why the change is taking place. You're the leader, the visionary of the business. So you have to explain that bigger vision and how it ties in, but then you also need to involve your team in that process and in the rollout and all that. And that would be a key component, tying it back to kind of this taking on too many things at once, is in order to get team adoption, they have to be involved, not just like have it dropped on
presented
them.
To them.
Presented yeah. to them. They need to be involved in the whole entire, like the build out and understanding and the implementation, maybe the calls or whatever, so that they're feel like they're vested and part of it. If you just say, hey guys, we're doing this and it's going to launch on Monday and here's how you do it, they are going to be resistant to that because it's change. They don't understand how it benefits them, but even if you said, here's how this benefits you, you're still not going to get the same adoption as you will if they have put their own effort into it. If anybody puts their own effort into something, they want to see it succeed.
Sure.
So now they're very bought in and they're like, yeah, I, you know, was part of this build out process, or, you know, if it's a new system or whatever, like I took pride in helping this get structured. So that's really the solution to that
mm-hmm.
part. But you have to think about how that includes your whole team. You can't just say like, okay, well, Randy, you are going to be responsible for implementing and overseeing this. And then, you know, Tim, you're going to be responsible for overseeing this. And then Brian, because then everybody's presenting it to the other person and nobody understands like how it was set up
sure.
or intended in the first place. So
I like that idea. I mean, I think that it anytime that you can have their hands in it a little bit more, we've seen a lot of that. We work with a lot of our coaching clients, and when I'm talking SOPs with gym owners, a lot of times I give them the advice that, like, I would, this is something I would tie your director into as well, right? They're the ones that are in the operation every day, doing a lot of the work that was on your plate as the owner at one point or another. And it gives them so much more sense of ownership and a little bit of that autonomy when they actually have their hands in it, right? And they can help create that process. I mean, it might already be there, but even just the documentation side of it and making it more formalized.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, well, there's probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
It kind of creates a lot more of that, like, team buy-in, team loyalty, you know, to whatever it is, than just something being dropped on their desk and it's a guide to go, you know, follow every day type of thing.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I also kind of tying it back to the autopilot component. It's not just about the owner's capacity, right? Sure. Like if the owner isn't involved in the delivery, which we always say you shouldn't be, you have the ability to work on the business, to bring these other things in. But again, you can't just present it to the team. It's like they also need to be included, even if it's not, even if you're the one that's clicking the buttons and implementing the systems, structuring it and coming up with the SOPs and all that, they still need to be a part of that, like, ongoing process. And then it's like, okay, now we get it and we're supportive of it. Otherwise, you're probably going to run into issues where, you know, somebody, and we can quote, call them like a toxic employee, but maybe as a leader, you didn't go through the right or approach this the right way. And you didn't get the buy-in from them. Now, if you did and they're still toxic, well then, okay, that's obviously doesn't belong on your team, but you could run into a situation where it's like, hey, I'm dropping this thing and we're making this change in the business. And you didn't tell the coach what was in it for them. You didn't include them in the process. And now before they even get a chance to try it, they're communicating to the clients, like, things are changing here. We don't know what's going on. There's uncertainty. And now the clients are resistant to something they know nothing about because the coach that they have the relationship with is just speaking negatively about it or whatever.
Yeah, I'd go one step further. I don't even think it has to be negative, but uncertainty.
Uncertain.
I think that's a big part of it, right? So if you don't have that buy-in, obviously, like you said, your coaches are often that face to the, you know, direct one-to-one to the client. If there's uncertainty in your coaching team, there's definitely going to be uncertainty in your clients.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's a great reason, and there's validity behind that for why team buy-in is so valuable. You know, and then again, there's processes for bringing those things in and educating and getting them up to speed.
And if you're moving extremely fast, you're going to have more uncertainty yourself leading the charge because there's going to be so many unknowns because it's not as thorough and you're moving. So, and again, it's like, we want you to move fast, but move fast at one thing, solidify it, know what you're doing, roll it out. There's a right process for all of that. Whether that's making a transition to, you know, a semi-private pro or bringing in a new profit center or changing your scheduling and billing software, sure, like, yeah, any of those things, it's like, hey, let's change this. Let's focus on it. Let's get it done and nailed down. And everybody knows how to use it. It's on autopilot. It's automatic. It's part of our SOPs. Okay, now let's go do this other thing. You know, the only time you wouldn't do that is if you were rebranding or opening a new facility or something. And then it's like, yeah, of course you're gonna have all these other components. But usually at that point, it's like, that's kind of a different, maybe you don't have clients or you don't have staff, or it's like everything's changing and that's the point.
Yeah. Well, okay. And a lot of times those situations, they're not, you know, your coaches or your team isn't direct, like their day to day isn't working with clients all day. You know what I mean? Like it's working on the business alongside you so that you can get more of that stuff accomplished at any given time than you can in a fully operational, you know, capacity. So, because we've done some of those changes, right? When we rebranded, we did. We bolted in a lot of the policy changes and a couple of those things all at once. But at that same time, it was that was there was a you know, extended timeline before all that stuff took effect. And I don't think any one of them was too – it was more like policy stuff.
You're creating a new business, essentially, when you're doing that. But yeah, like I think the core message is don't bite off more than you can chew.
It's a good point. Yeah.
It's focus in, move really fast on one thing, solidify it, let that start generating revenue for you. And then it's like, okay, now we can look at adding another profit center or going to that next thing. You just don't change everything all at once.
Yeah. There's one more thing and then we can wrap on this, but let's say you do have a couple of different things that you do want to implement into the business. In your eyes, how do you prioritize which change to make first? Or how do you lay out those changes one after the next based upon the options that you have?
I laugh because it's like so often gym owners that we see and we talk to, they're just trying to bring stuff in constantly. Yeah. And I think it's because their revenue and their main thing that they do isn't as profitable as they want it to be. And so they have to, in order to like make money and you know, grow the business. I don't know if grow the business is the right term, but like
try to create more revenue,
produce more revenue is like they have to bring in the other supplemental things or like a high ticket, you know, sales thing or whatever, just in order to break even sometimes, let alone be profitable.
Yeah.
And I think that's what that stems from. It's like, get your main thing to where you want it to be before you add anything else. Because as soon as you bring something else in and that main thing isn't operating at near capacity, both are going to fail,
yeah,
essentially. Or you're going to put all this focus on an additional profit center that is maybe like going to be 5-10% of the revenue of the main thing. But then the main thing starts to drop because now all your attention has shifted over to this other component. Right. And that's just a business lesson. It's like, I remember when ProFit was taken off and it was like with Tim for the gym, it was like, I need to drop the pin. Which means like I have to have somebody that is going to run this business for me so that I can now move on and go and do other things. You can't just go on and do other things without having that person in place. Otherwise, your focus is over here and this fails. More than a full-time job just doing this, just running the gym, right? So same thing. It's like, well, in order to grow my training revenue my training revenue, my gym operating well, that has to run smoothly. All the systems have to be created around it to how we attract people, how we convert them, how we deliver the training, how we continue to ascend people and retain people. If there's holes in any one of those things, fix that before bringing something else.
Nice. Well said. Yeah. That's exactly what I was, you know, what we were thinking or what I wanted you to kind of extract out of there, right? Keep the main thing the main thing. I think it's a pretty, I think it's pretty consistent across every gym that we've worked with and the gyms that we see that are successful. The main thing, people come to the gym for training, right?
Yeah.
And if that first and foremost isn't in a position where you're confident in the delivery of it, in the scalability of it, in the marketing and the conversion of that, then I would say, yeah, definitely double down on that first before even considering bringing in something else, because it's a slippery slope, like you said, right? You take your eye off that prize and then you're splitting bandwidth and your team's doing the same thing. And, you know, now you're going to start watching your training start to degrade and the revenue goes along with it. So just a little bit of a, you know, word to the wise, if you may. But that's what we have for you guys today. If you are in a position, if you're considering bringing in other services, other additional profit centers, things like that, one of my favorite quotes, it was in The Patriot from the movie.
Oh, I just watched it 4th of July.
Well, you have to, right? If it's on, you got to watch it. But that scene where the son, where he gives the son the gun and he's reminding him how he taught him to shoot, right?
Yeah.
Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. And I think that this is that's a great reminder for bringing in things into the business, right? Make sure it's smooth. Make sure it's consistent. That's where you're going to get your speed to implementation, speed to getting those things off the ground. Don't just try and throw it all at, you know, everybody all at once and kind of confuse a little bit of everyone. So if you have any questions, this is the stuff that we do in our coaching program. These are the problems that we help navigate with our clients, things like that. There's going to be a link in the show notes. Check it out. But until next episode, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to go deeper on this stuff, head on over to our YouTube channel. The podcast right here is where we have the conversations, but on the YouTube, we break down things much more in depth. We walk through real frameworks, real strategies, and systems that gym owners are using right now to build better businesses. Just search Gym Business Coach on YouTube or head on over to youtube.com/@@TheGymBusinessCoach.com. Subscribe to the channel and I will see you over there.